Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of Absolute Cuts. This is going to be an interesting one because we're doing it at 12:15 at night because we've both been gigging. I did Red Raw. Ryan was doing roast battles and Ryan's been drinking.
I'd like to say heavily.
Yeah, I would say heavily.
I said, like, I won't drink. When I first turned up, I go, I'm not drinking. It's a late night. There's a late NFL game. I'm going to have to edit a little bit of this podcast during it. Mm-hmm. I'd be up for it anyway. And then I've got an early flight to Belgium.
Yeah, you're going to Belgium randomly.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, don't worry about it. Control yourself and all that. It wasn't even two lines into the first battle. I was like, yeah, go fucking rum and coke me. Just give me a wee rum and coke, fuck it. Wet my beak.
Did you win your battle?
I didn't. I did win it. I feel like I won it. Mm-hmm. It was a narrow one. And then I said something at the end that you're just going to have to agree with me that was insane for me to do on a live stream.
Yeah.
And then both Jojo, who was the victim of it.
Jojo Sutherland.
Who was the judge. She just went, I can't vote for you now. I was going to vote for you, but I can't. And then Gareth was like, I don't even remember the battle.
Yeah.
So it was wild. So, like, I mean, like, I lost control on stage. Yeah. I genuinely lost control on stage with laughter. I couldn't even fucking deal with it. Liam was sitting there. It was so funny. It's been eventful. It's going to be a wild one, this. Considering how angry you are with me.
I'm fucking furious about this film. Genuinely furious. Like, we're going to get to it in a minute, but we, like, recap our week. So you're going to get Belgium for a gig?
Yeah.
It seems wild to go.
It does, for a one-off
for
gig.
For one night. Yeah,
I mean, like, I'm back out and back at like 7 in the morning the next day. It's not even like a slight like, oh, I'll see what the nightlife's like. I am basically going to the gig in Belgium and back.
Do you know Belgium has, obviously we hate podcasts that constantly go on about this kind of shit, but Belgium has got the highest concentration of paedophiles in Europe.
I know that, I mean, they've only topped Ireland because of,
They're more
packed in.
A guy heckled me with that at my Fringe show about, God, over 10 years ago now. There was a Belgian in the audience, and I think he was arguing something about how Belgium was better than Scotland. And then I was like, apart from Poirot, chocolate, cuckoo. No, that's the Swiss. What the fuck am I talking about? Apart from Poirot. What of Belgian
Swiss cheese?
What of Belgian given us? And he was like, "We've got the most paedophiles in the world."
They've topped us on Blackpool.
Yes.
Do you remember the time we did the Blackpool gig and someone interrupted our gig and said, like,
"Yeah, we've got the most paedophiles."
But they're only UK, so basically Belgium's the Blackpool of Europe.
Yeah.
Which is, I've been to Belgium before. Their motorways have potholes.
Really?
Yeah. You know, you'd think that Belgium would, I feel like a lot of like MEPs go to Belgium a lot.
Yeah.
But like when I was there, the taxi driver's like, oh, going 90, whoop, pothole. And I'm like, you don't dodge potholes at 90 miles an hour. Like, that freaked the shit out of me. So I'm going to see what it's like from Charleroi into Brussels again. One night. I don't know what it's like. They're not even usually good crowds.
Have you done Belgium before? No.
I'll tell you why I know. This isn't racist,
mm-hmm.
but I just presume they're the exact same as Dutch crowds.
Yeah, Dutch crowds are tough.
Because Dutch crowds don't laugh. So what they do is they come up and go, that was the greatest show. I was like, I thought you fucking hated that.
Yeah, silence.
They would take pictures and go, that was excellent. Yeah. It was perfectly written. And I'm like, just laugh out loud. They go, yeah.
Yeah,
and then you think you're dying, and then you're struggling on stage trying to win them over.
Yeah,
very Dutch thing to do. Yeah. Every time there's a lot of Dutch in, I'd be like, "Fuck."
The only time I've been to Belgium, we went on a school trip when we were about what was it? Fifth year, I think. So we'd be about 16. No, wait a minute. No. Fuck, what am I talking about? Fourth year. Yeah, so okay. We'd be about 14, 13 maybe. And we went to Belgium because it was part of the history. It was a history trip. Because like you could do history or geography or modern studies, which was basically politics and stuff like that. So that's what I did.
Okay.
But modern studies didn't have a trip. So you got a choice of going to Amsterdam with geography, or you could go to Belgium with history. And a load of my pals did history, so we went to Belgium. Two things I can remember from it. Because there's a picture of me, right, where I look so geeky. It's like I genuinely hate myself. Like,
okay.
I'll find the picture and I'll put it up on our social media because genuinely I look like a fucking turd of a person. Like, it's awful. It's like I've got proper free council specs on.
Okay, right.
I was going through a period where I was using mousse in my hair. So I'm
I remember those days.
Stroking it right back. And I remember one night there was an English school there as well. And there was a load of girls. And we were looking out at the balcony and they were kind of drinking. And then one of them started doing like a fake striptease. And I remember at that point thinking, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's so depressing.
I know. It was so bad.
What's a fake striptease?
Like, she was kind of...
half going and then going...
She had like...
Swirling her scarf and then going, yeah, that's enough, boys.
She had a top on with two straps, and she was doing a kind of thing where she was kind of taking down one like strap this. As if like a, it was like actual striptease though,
okay.
Because there was a tease to it.
Yes, okay.
So
yeah.
I'm very much a purist when it comes to striptease.
I
hate when they take clothes off.
I've ever told you about being kicked out of the strip club.
No.
Are you sure I've never told you this?
Maybe.
A friend of mine's Antonio. Mm-hmm. He's Romanian, not mm-hmm. Italian. We common joke we make with him.
Right.
What the fuck? How did this happen? He won. It was his birthday, and I worked with him in Dublin. And Antonio was like, "It's my birthday. Let's go out." And I go, "Yeah, cool. I don't really have much money." And he goes, "Let's go to Dr. Quirky's Funtime Emporium. Have you seen Dr. Quirky's Funtime Emporium?"
No.
That's not the strip club. Dr. Quirky's Funtime Emporium is on O'Connell Street across from the Gresham Hotel. So all opposite side of, say, like where we do the laughter lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know it? So it's like it's a casino. It's not really a casino. It's basically shooting hoops, those horse racing like games things and whatever.
Oh, with the fake plastic horses.
Horses. There is fake poker tables and all that. Not an actual casino. It's called Dr. Quirky's Fun Time Emporium or Good Time Emporium. It's either Fun Time or Good Time Emporium. Antonio won on his birthday when I went to meet him in there, won 700 euro on a Book of Raj. It was called Slot Machine. And I go, I have never seen anyone where one of he won 700 euro jackpot on his birthday on this. And I'm dying laughing. I was like, that's insane. And he goes, well, we're going to Lapello, you know, the strip club in Dublin. I go, I'm not, like, in my, I was like, it's not my thing. I was uncomfortable, right? So we land in. It's about, I was like, all right, cool. It's your birthday. We sit in the corner. Antonio is a guy that doesn't have a wallet.
Right.
He's got one that he would just have the wad of cash. Bent over like a proper gangster.
Right,
like,
okay. Like,
doesn't believe in
like
anything.
Like Pacino and Donnie Brasco.
That's like, yeah. You know, he'd be just like, he'd be like, oh, how much is that drink? And he'd pull out a wad of cash and go, what the fuck, man? I was like, we're both waiters. Stop acting like you're fucking Donnie Brasco. Antonio goes, all the strippers come to us immediately because everyone there is either an old man, like an old Indian man or like a random Polish guys that are mean mad sexist. So they see us and go, here's who will try and steal our money from.
Right.
So there, we're on to this. I'm like, I have no money. Antonio's like, relax, man. I've got 700 euro. And I go, you're going to waste all of this now. I mean, like, you don't have the money for this. This is your rent. Antonio starts going like, yeah, bottle of champagne. So these strippers are chatting to us. They're all being nice. I do the worst thing. I cringe about thinking about this now. Mm-hmm. I do that really annoying thing. I was about 24 at the time. I do that thing where I was like, oh, but what's your real name? Do you know that type of like, think you're better?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's get down to it, right? And she was just, it's like, Mimi. And I go, but what's your real name? She goes, my name's fucking Mimi. Shut up, right? So I'm laughing at her because I think, this is so bad. There's a big podium in front of us and she comes up to me and she goes, you have to request my song. And if you do my song, I do the striptease on the big pole for everyone. And I was like, what's the song? And she goes,
Zombie by the Cranberries.
It's about the Troubles. I would have got her up if that was the fucking song. I think it was Do You Wanna by the Arctic Monkeys just when it came out. Would that work?
What year was this?
See, this is what I'm trying to think. I feel like I was about 25. Would it have been 7, 8 years ago? 8, 9 years
ago?
Yeah, it feels to me like a new song. I feel like it was that song, and I hate that song. So she goes, you have to request the Arctic Monkeys, Do You Want It? And I was like, well, I guess you're not dancing tonight, love. And she was like, what the fuck are you saying? And I go, like, I have to dance that. It's just my song. And I go, I hate that song. So we can chat here. Yeah. And she was like, is there some fucking problem, right?
Well, you did a Ghostbusters theme tune.
It's such a unsexiest song. I think it's like the. Can you do the Irish national anthem? She goes, they say it's a free lap dance. It's not a free lap dance. You get it because you pay the entry fee of like 30 quid. So Antonio's like, come on down. So Mimi's bringing me down, already angry at me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm ashamed to say I am desperately awkward, right? Like, she's very good looking and all that, but I'm desperately awkward. She sits there and she starts off her striptease. We're in like booths beside each other and she takes off her glasses. She's got glasses, right?
Can you see each other?
No, me and Antonio can't. Right. I can hear him, to be honest.
Right.
Right. we're in those round couches and you can't see over, but he's beside me.
Yeah.
She takes off her glasses and chucks them and she goes, I was like, how many pairs of glasses do you go through a week? And she said this, Mark, she goes, Ryan, she looked at me like a teacher. She went, Ryan, shut the fuck up.
Wow.
And then I got an angry lap dance like Mark and Peep Show. Jeez. Like when I saw Mark and Peep Show, there's a scene where he gets an angry lap.
She just gave
me an angry lap dance. She told me to shut the fuck up, give me an after that. And I went, and all I could hear was Antonio in the next thing goes, Ryan, Kurva, shut the fuck up, man. Kurva, you fucking. Mortsy Matty. And I was like, all right, calm down. He goes, you fucking ruined this for me and my birthday.
Wow.
It was dreadful. She was just like, yeah, you happy now? Go out. And I go, oh, I mean, it was great, but I was deeply uncomfortable. And she told me to fuck off.
Mimi. I'd have kept the glasses on.
You would have, yeah.
That's hot.
Oh, well, you know, she was doing that. That was her thing, obviously. But then.
Do you want to hear before we get to the film, my lap dancing.
Oh,
best story.
Did I do a good job?
Again. Again, it happened on a lad's holiday we went on. I think it was Malia again, actually. The first night we were there, we got drinking with this English dude he'd got an earlier flight and his pals had missed a flight. So, He was talking to us at the bar and we were like, well, fucking come out with us, man. And then the next night, he'd met up with his pals and we saw him again and we were like, oh, how's your night going? And he was like, that's fucking amazing. He was like, whatever you do, don't go to the strip club, right? They properly rip you off. Do not go to the strip club. So me and my pal Johnny were like, oh, strip club?
Heed no warnings, please.
So we go in there, right? And it's properly like a taken kind of situation where they as soon as you go in, they divide you straight away. Like these big dudes divide the two of you so you can't
support each other.
So I get taken away and it's the usual kind of thing. Oh, like, this is much for a dance, but... do you want a drink and all this kind of stuff? Now, my pal Johnny is notoriously very, very tight, so there was no way he was even buying a drink for himself. He was like literally tap water in there. Whereas I, at this point, I was like that. I was so hammered. I was like, fuck it, yeah, I'll take a drink. And I was like, whatever the lady wants as well, right? So she's getting like a fucking bottle of champagne and stuff like that. I'm sitting there probably with a pint, and then she does the full dance, right? And then basically there's a bouncer in there the whole time, and he comes for payment at the end, and he's like, right, that'll be, it wasn't even euros at that point, right? It was drachmas, right? So he comes up and he's like, that'll be 500 drachmas. And I just went, I've got fuck all, mate. Anyway, what do you mean? And I was like, fuck all. And he was like, no, that's not going to work. And then I turned out my pockets like that and just went, fuck all. And the look in his face was just like, I don't understand.
Know what to do.
I don't understand what's going on here.
Why did you agree to any of this?
So the two bouncers took me out the back and gave me the politest kicking I've ever been given in my life.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They were like, we have to do this. They were almost like, we respect the fact that you come in here with no money at all and try to brass it out, but we need to set some kind of example where we're going to give you a slight doing, right? So they both punched me, and I landed on the floor, knocked out. They both kicked me in the stomach, and then they picked me up and got me in a taxi and paid for it.
You were sorry, no harm, but this story is, you were so pathetic that they were like, wow.
Yeah.
That must have been like, because like, I feel like bouncers in a bar, they're itching to do that to someone.
Yeah.
But with you, they were like,
they were just like, we can't, because I think I was appealing to them and kind of going,
I
was kind of going like, that was a good laugh though. Like, see, when I turned my pockets out, like, that was funny. Like, and I was like, the look in your face, because, and he was like, no one's ever done that before. No one's ever just come in here with no money at all. And then.
I remember I was so drunk once when I was 18 years old, and I tried to leave a nightclub, and my friends wouldn't let me leave. They were like, oh, fuck off, get another shot. And I was as wasted. I remember basically, the only way I thought I could get out of the nightclub was to be actually physically thrown out rather than just leaving on my own accord. So I went up to a bouncer and went, hey, you cunt. And then I swung at him, but I purposely missed him, right? And I just hit the deck. I punched and missed and I hit the deck. And the guy drags me up and he hits me a dig on the steps, and I'm creaming myself laughing. Like, I'm in pain when he punches me. And he's like, what's your deal? And I go, sorry, man, while he's dragging me up by the neck up the staircase, and it was 21's nightclub in Dublin, he goes, I was sitting there, he goes, why are you laughing? And I go, oh man, I had no intention to hit you. Just friends wouldn't let me leave. I just had the only way I could do it. Like, I wasn't actually ever going to punch you. And he dragged me and he stood me up, you know, like you're just saying, your thing. And he just went, what? And I go, no, I was never going to hit you, man. I just wanted you to drag me out. And he was like, all right. Oh, well, sorry for hitting you then. And I go, no, you had to do your thing. And then he looked, like, genuinely looked at me, and I go, I'm just going to get a taxi. And he's like, all right. You know, like, kind of, like, standoffish, like, what are you doing?
Brilliant.
You're angry about me with this film.
Yes. So, it was Ryan's choice this week. What did you pick, Ryan?
Look, I feel like right now I've thrown a couple more curveballs to you than you have to me, right?
Well, no.
I did get you a couple of great ones recently, you know. But this week, and I've been looking forward to this one to rag on, because I remember seeing it. I had actually kind of forgot about most of it when I started watching it. But this week's film was P.S. I Love You by the film of the novel by Cecilia Ahern.
I didn't even know it was a novel. Is that Bertie Ahern's?
That is Bertie Ahern's
fucking
daughter.
Hell.
If you don't know Bertie Ahern, he was the Irish Taoiseach. He's actually come back into politics now. So Bertie's around again. he was known as like Brown Envelope Birdie for his dodgy dealings. You get a brown envelope, you're like, all right, Bertie, calm down.
So his daughter wrote the book, and this is the...
Yes, and this right. is the, and the book was a bestseller. I get why it was a bestseller. It's slightly romantic, the idea. The general idea is couple get together.
Mm-hmm.
He dies when he shouldn't. He dies young, and he has set up for a year or something, basically letters that come to her every 3 weeks or some shit.
Yeah.
Going like, here's some shit to do. It's like a miserable treasure hunt.
It is. The first...
this film's wild. Especially as an Irish person, it's so offensive.
Yeah. I hated every single minute of this. Like, it is... It's not just shit. It's deeply offensive to anyone that watches films. Like, it's so fucking bad.
This is...
The first letter isn't even a letter. He delivers this. It's on her birthday, right? The poor fucking girl. Well, I say poor girl because she's an arsehole as well.
She
right?
is. And it's Hilary Swank, who's just far too good for this film.
Like, so she's in the grieving process and is almost kind of, because she's lost her fucking mind, right?
Yeah.
And fair. Naturally had a breakdown because of it, which fair. Is fair. Her mum and her pals turn up for her 30th birthday. And then there's like, oh, a package has arrived for you, right? And it's a birthday cake for her 30th birthday with him saying happy birthday from Gerard Butler, right? Which is creepy as fuck anyway. Attached to it is the same cassette player, like dictaphone, that the guy from fucking Saw uses.
I never thought of that.
And you're
I
like,
never thought
what
that.
Is going on here? And it's basically, it's like a Saw film. But the Saw films, I reckon the victims in the Saw films went through less torture because than Hilary Swank goes through in this.
So they do, this is my favorite thing about it, they do pitch it like it's a romantic thing to do, and I understand where you think it would be, but they don't even, in the film, they don't even like the Mueller is deeply disturbed the whole way through, like, this is not good for you. And it's all you can think about. You're like, yeah, it isn't.
Yeah. But then, like, skip to the end, and massive spoiler alert if you ever decide to watch this piece of shit. It's the fucking mother that's been handing out the letters.
Yes.
Because he's like that. He's all kind of cryptic about it and goes, listen, there's going to be letters coming. You won't know how they're arriving, right? And then it turns out at the end that she's been the messenger. She's been the deliverer of the...
And she fucking hates him too. That is even funnier.
She does hate him, yeah.
She's like, oh, I couldn't help it. You know, he made me promise. And I'm like, he made me promise and you would destroy my daughter's life for at least 2 years. But
but there's good actors in this.
See,
there's
this is...
fucking Kathy Bates. So an Oscar winner that is in this.
This is amazing thing about it, right? Jared Butler. I think Jared Butler personally gets more grief because then he deserves, because he's Scottish, but he doesn't really do the Scottish thing too much. He kind of does, and then sometimes he completely abandons it. But he also does dog shit films, but he's also, which I think is absolutely fine, he leans into it and he doesn't care.
Oh, no. Like,
so most times I see Jared Butler, I actually don't, it was like he's a bad actor or whatever sometimes, and I'm like, nah, I mean, like, he's not going for the Oscar.
No, he gives it. Even in this, he gives it.
Yeah, like, and he's young here, and it's one of his bigger first films. He's in with Hilary Swank, who's a 2-time Oscar winner.
Yeah.
They really dumb her down to a retard.
yeah, they do, really fucking
Kathy Bates, unbelievable.
Yeah. Gina Gershon, great actress.
Great, loads of people in it. I mean, Lisa Kudrow. Right. So, I mean, it starts off with a Pogue song.
Right.
So
Right. Before we get to the Pogue song, the film starts with them arguing as they're walking home from something. You assume like it's like a party or something.
Yeah.
She's pissed at him there, and she won't tell him exactly what's going on or what she's pissed about until they get in the the apartment, right? They get in the apartment. He said something about them having kids to her mother, who's Kathy Bates. She's fucked at that. And then she's like, oh, yeah, and you took it alone with your pal.
Yeah,
without
yeah, yeah.
me to. And then,
they never said anything about it.
And then they fucking launch in it. She's throwing shoes at him. And then he... First of all, as I told you earlier on, it took me the first 10 minutes to find out what nationality he was supposed to be, because...
So, this film is really popular in Ireland for two reasons. Number one, Cecilia Hearn, Irish. Uh-huh. Irish thing, Birdie Hearn, blah, blah, blah. Second thing is, it's up there with... I haven't seen that Wild Mountain Time mm-hmm. thing or whatever the new one is. Leap Year I have seen, mm-hmm. which is one of my favourite... That is as bad as this. This one is more well known, so it's why I kind of chose this. And I also found it in a charity shop. I didn't find Leap Year, right? This one, I remember being like, the first thing I remember is the fact that he's so bad. I don't know why I felt like a Scottish person would be better, but obviously it wouldn't be. It's a strong accent.
I don't understand why they do this.
There are
Irish actors that they could have got.
No harm. We're small, isn't it? But we have massive actors that could have done this part.
I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis isn't going to take this on.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis. He's going to. I'll spend 6 months as a wet blanket to get over this part.
Actually kill myself so I can really get into the character.
Cillian Murphy, too awkward looking. Yeah. He's been in a couple of rom-coms and people have went, no, too much like a person that skins people alive.
Ah, he's not smooth enough, Cillian Murphy.
No, yeah, he's good. Aye. He's great. You know, we had a couple. Colin Farrell, maybe.
Yeah, Farrell could have done it. Yeah.
But they got Jared Butler. His accent is a mixture of, he got that word right. Then next thing it was leprechaun Irish. And then it was, and then it kind of got the wrong part of Ireland and then back to leprechaun. That's the way it is.
He says various things in that first argument where he goes, kiss me arse. And you're like, kiss me arse. And then she says in English, kiss my ass. And then there's a fucking bizarre bit when they make up, right? Because he does a striptease, which is one of the most awkward things I've ever watched in my life.
Because it looks like Hilary Swank's like, I hate it. No, not attracted
oh
to this
my
at all.
Oh, God. And then he gets into bed with her, and he says a thing where he's like that, I can't wait to kiss your Glaswegian cookie. And I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? Like, what does that even mean?
She's so clearly American. But, like, there's so many things they drop in where, I'm
just trying to find where my bars are. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Do all Irish people sing like you? Oh, only the well-hung ones. And I was, like, I fucking lost it. I was just like... What are you fucking doing here? Like, I have a wrote here. Say, he kept going, like, every time she said stuff. And this one, I would probably say, is the most Irish thing. But he did it so badly. He just kept me like, oh, come on, will ya?
Yeah.
And that's the accent. Yeah. It's not an accent of anywhere in Ireland. Oh, come on, will ya? Yeah. Come on, Hillary.
And he keeps going, oh my God, you're a pain in me whore.
Yeah. Kiss me arse was a... Like, because even if they went... Like Paddy Whacker Irish, they go, oh, Pug Mahone, Irish for kiss me arse. You see it on a fucking dish towel, that would make more sense. But he actually just goes, kiss me arse. And I go, nobody has ever, I don't think anybody in Irish history has ever said that once. Like Jared Butler, by the way, has come out like a couple of years ago and completely apologized for the whole film.
Oh, really?
Jared Butler was like, that was a real bad Irish character. I'm sorry about it. But I mean, like, I know she's not the director, but the writer is that sometimes this happens. And you know what? It's the same with Scottish actors. It's not like a thing, you know, sometimes they just get Americans to play a Scottish guy and you're just like, what the fuck? Just get a Scottish guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not trying to compare it to, like, you know, like sometimes, like, why are we getting an Asian here? You just get an Asian, not Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, sometimes you're just like, Jesus
Christ.
It's like
the guy that played Stephen Hawking. Why did you not get an actual genius disabled man to do that?
Don't get Eddie Redmayne in there. Just after Jupiter Ascending, which is one of the worst films I've ever seen.
So then he dies.
Very funny.
Which is the best thing about this
Just before that, the apartment, when they're arguing, before he dies, the first scene is them, the argument we're talking about, she's like, oh, we need to get a better fucking apartment. I can't live in this shithole. It is in the bang middle of Manhattan.
Yeah.
And there, it is one of the... I would dream to live in that apartment.
Oh, yeah. That,
I was like, that apartment
that would cost a fortune, that apartment.
That would cost at least $6,000 a month, yeah. I reckon, in New York.
She's not working because she's kicked both jobs that she's had in. He drives a fucking limo about.
I know that's a thing. Like, people are always like, you know, when you're watching Friends, they're like, how the fuck do they all afford this? It's another one of them. It's the fact that she genuinely gives out about the place. Like, I wouldn't mind, nobody in Friends goes, this is a fucking dirty shithole. You know,
she's a terrible character.
She is.
Because they make she's her, like,
yeah.
I, when we were talking about, like, in Knocked Up, where they make all the female characters bitchy kind of shrews.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like that 10 times. She just never gives a guy a fucking break. Like, all the flashbacks that you see after he's died, it's just her giving him shit all the time.
I presumed it was suicide until they told me it was a brain... they told me it was the brain tumor. By the way, after the striptease, she gets in bed and he goes, oh, I can't believe I'm in love with a leprechaun.
I know, yeah,
leprechaun.
Yeah.
Jared Butler,
yeah.
First of all.
Yeah. The funeral, because right. Then it skips, so it skips forward.
Yeah, good.
And he's dead.
I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed you that they didn't do any sort of death.
Him dying, yeah, he's dead. And then they have so Kathy Bates owns a bar.
Yeah.
And they have the funeral in the bar. And this is where you meet all of our friends. So Gina Gershon and Lisa Kudrow. And you meet his business partner. And they bring him out in an urn. Like not an urn, but like the case they hold an urn in.
Yeah, it's that wild.
Is... for some reason looks sadomasochistic because it's like leather with studs on it. And it appears she carries it out for half the fucking film. There's a really weird
massive.
Bit. There's a really weird bit, right? Where after the funeral, she goes home and she takes the big box with him in it, his ashes in it, sits it down there, then strips off incredibly quickly. And she's wearing lingerie. And you're like, what the fuck are you wearing sexy gear to your husband's funeral?
And that's right. I never thought of that.
I genuinely thought. Because she puts it right in front of her, strips off. And I was like, is she going to fuck this box? Like, I was genuinely expecting that to happen.
I think the box looks like that massive thing in, like, Saudi Arabia, the Mecca. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can't remember what it's called, but it looks like that building in China.
Yeah, it does.
I was like, why are you... It's massive. She's carrying it like that. I enjoy Irish wakes. I always find it really funny that you people, like the UK and all, take sometimes like 3 weeks to bury. Like, if my mom died on a Wednesday, we'd have the wake on Thursday, and Friday, and she's buried on the Saturday.
Right.
It's done quickly, and everybody's smashed on the thing. So I understand there's the Irish-American tradition. You see it on, like, The Wire, where in The Wire, they lay the dead body on the actual, like, pool table. And they'd have shots around.
Yeah.
And this was another, they obviously fucking incinerated the cunt, like, but they had that, you know, they all had shots of Jameson. But, I was like, oh, fucking my God, telegraphed. Nobody takes shots of Jameson. You take Jameson and Coke, and then you take a shot of something good whiskey.
There's about 30-odd glasses there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All you ever see in that entire funeral scene is them tanning shots of whiskey, yet none of them are pissed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, Americans cannot drink, so there is not a chance... None of them are absolutely...
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely not.
...cunted. And then, right, fucking Harry Connick Jr. appears.
So is he the guy that works in the bar that...
He's the guy that works in Kathy Bates' bar that ends up... kind of having a relationship with Hilary Swank, but he comes up and says, I'm really sorry about your husband. How did he die? And she went, I had a brain tumor. And he goes, nice. Right? And then they explain that by him going, I've got a syndrome. I don't have any filters. So this guy's autistic as fuck, right?
Yeah.
The way they handle an autistic person is like, I'm really rude, but I'm taking pills to sort out how rude I am. I call them rude pills, right? And you're like, what the fuck, man? Is this?
It's not long this, enough of a film ago. The screenwriter's
just learned about autism. Yeah. And gone,
this isn't a film in the 70s where you could kind of go, like, pass it off as you didn't know. Yeah. I mean, they're drinking Jameson in a bar. I feel like you should have a better understanding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just like, I'm not good with social cues. I'll just call you a twat if I think you're being a twat. I'm glad your husband's dead.
The priest who they get in to do the funeral says, we're going to play Jerry, who's Gerard Butler's name in the film. We're going to play his favourite song. And then Fairy Tale of New York comes in. The priest only joins in at the bit that they say faggot. He only joins in at that bit. He doesn't sing any of the fucking chorus. None of the first verse, none of the chorus. But as soon as Kirsty MacColl says faggot, he's fucking piping it out.
I fucking forgot. I can't even believe it. I haven't written this down. When the film starts off, I love the song. It's I love you till the end. It's a Pogue song.
Yeah,
but it's not Shane McGowan singing. It's Spider Stacey, who was the other singer after Shane, right? And it's the song he keeps singing. I don't want to blah blah blah. And then it's another Pogue song that's his favorite song. The thing, I forgot. That's so funny. He literally says nothing, and then he just goes.
Yeah, only starts singing at that bit. The bit that has been banned is the only bit that the priest thinks, I better pipe up here. It's fucking incredible.
Do you know the best thing? Lisa Kudrow, right, turns up and she starts funeral crashing. She's trying to fuck everyone at the funeral.
She's like cock hungry. Like,
She tries to
every single
she goes, what do you do? What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. What's your job? And goes, I don't have a job. And then you walk off. Then she says something, and the guy's like, Are you gay?
And he goes, yeah, I am.
And then fucks off. Fuck off.
But then she eventually corners a guy in the corridor and she says, what's your name? Bill. Are you gay? No, I'm straight. Do you work? He's like, yeah, I'm an accountant. And then she just fucking plants the lips on him.
Okay.
And then goes, meh, and then just walks away for the guy.
Is that the guy that she meets that she eventually ends up with?
No, because he's like the guy that runs a karaoke.
Yes, okay, yeah. Sorry.
This is a dude right at the funeral.
I don't remember planting the lips for some fucking reason.
She sexually assaults people. A lot, right?
A funeral crasher.
She's like hungry, cock hungry. Lisa Kudrow in this, and that's all she is in this entire film.
And do you know what was it? Her that said, by the way, which I thought was the best line in the whole film, which is when he's dead. They crash into her. She, you know, she's got takeaways everywhere. She's not dealing with the thing. It's 3 weeks later, and they walk in. They're all disgusted that she's. And she's singing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they try to get her out. And I think it was Lisa Kudrow. She goes, I can't believe you're singing. She goes, it's a mess. She goes, I'm very tired. She goes, mm-hmm. Yeah, you must be because you're doing two shows at night.
That was one of the women. I did die at that.
That was top fucking tier. But we're always on about the horny guy. It is Lisa Kudrow in this.
Oh, yeah. It's the first horny woman we've had.
We got a horny woman.
Yeah.
And she is... very horny.
Yeah.
She was like, I need to catch these people when they're in grief.
Yeah. It's bizarre. Bizarre.
The guy she ends up with, do you know him?
No.
Do you know that actor?
No.
I spotted him. It took me... I did that one of those things a half an hour later and I went, yes, I got him. John Wick.
Uh-huh.
he is the guy in the first John Wick. Remember, there's the guy that died, the main bad guy in first John Wick. He's dead in real life. The Swedish guy, Michael Nviqst.
Right.
Michael Nvisk. You know, he's in a lot of films. He's the other bad guy that's sitting there. Well, you know, he's talking about Baba Yaga.
Yeah.
He's sitting there going like, I don't want to deal with this. The whole way through John Wick, he's like, I don't want to deal with this guy. He's a fucking psychopath.
He's like the second-hand man.
He's the second-hand man of the bad guy. When I spot him, I was like, fuck, that's who it is. Like, did you do the thing? It's one of those ones where I spot the guy. I don't want to check it.
Yeah, I caught him.
John Wick 1.
Yeah.
He's the other bad guy. He's always the coward. He's always the guy that's the second-hand bad guy. He's like, fuck this. I don't want to die about this shit. And then he fucks off.
He's barely in this film, isn't
he? No, he isn't there. Yeah, I presume his more of John Wick was his.
He hosts karaoke, never sings, then gets hit on by Kudrow,
and
then just starts getting off with her at the bar, and that's it.
I've got a couple of these bars.
Yeah, I've got a club I'm opening there.
Oh God.
So when the saw tape arrives, right? She gets the first message. It's on the Wii recorder. And he says, I'm going to be sending you different letters. So he's already gone, right, I'm essentially ruining your life for the next year.
It really is.
I'm not letting you move on because for some fucking reason. But tonight, you got to go out. You got to go out, right? And then they turn up to the most stereotypical gay bar I have ever seen in my life. Because they're like,
oh, you don't worry about it.
They're not going to get let in, right? And then she's got a sister who's fucking bizarre, right? And her sister starts going, no, she's the queen of Norway, the princess of Norway, and she's here to extend and repair relations between homosexuals in Norway. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, if you said Norway, I've got a problem with gay people, right? I'm like, why did you not just say to the dude, this lassie's husband's just died, right? It's her 30th birthday. Let us the fuck in, right? They go into the gay bar and it's like a fucking Freddie Mercury video. There's guys in leather hot pants. No one's wearing a top at all. It's just bare-chested dudes everywhere.
It's like the director has never seen a gay person before. And it's just, yeah, man, they need paddles. All of them have paddles. They all have paddles and ass chaps. And yeah, and anytime they're like, well, gay people know emotions. And then it's just like her going like this, and they go, you'll be fine.
Oh,
like
God.
Proper camping it up, and you're just like, why? Yeah. They really one-dimensionalized gay people and her.
Yeah. Oh, there's no character that's got anything more than one dimension in this
I feel like the fact that they made the most one-dimensional character, one of the Hillary Swank, is outrageous.
Yeah. She's horrible. Because she's horrible to Gerard Butler, who's a wanker anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so it's hard to feel sorry for him because he's a fucking bellend. Because I've met people like him. Yeah, kind of cunt that will pick up a guitar at a party. And he's just a fucking prick. But then with Harry Connick Jr., this poor autistic she leads him on the entire film.
She does.
Like, constantly fucking leads him on.
And there's a scene with them in a cupboard together.
She spews in his shoe.
Yeah, she, I get it. She was drunk.
But it
isn't the problem. Like, that's the first time she was leading him on for, you know, weeks. And then this happens, and he's like, no, you're too drunk. And that's good. And then she spews in this thing, but it continues on.
It's clear the guy fancies her.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he basically says to her at one point, he's like, ah, look, I can't do this anymore. And then she gets him out again and it's when she gets the last letter, she makes him read it.
That was wild.
And you're like, at Yankee Stadium as well.
My dad gets me in here. My granddad gets me tickets. We can get in here and look at this, you know. Like, I mean, that would be cool to get into the Yankee Stadium. But it was a wild thing to do. And then they kiss. And then they go, ooh, they made a mistake.
Yeah, because I thought, I was quite glad.
I have done that before.
What, kissed an autistic dude?
I've kissed Henry Connish Jr.
At Yankee Stadium.
It was just the pub in Dublin. It was way less than things. But I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed the part that they went, oh, no, we've made it.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't end up together.
I thought it was great. I thought that was possibly the only redeeming part of the thing, bar that one line about you do two shows a night. That was...
The middle part of the film, they visit Ireland because he's set up a trip.
Is this before the
trip?
Is this before... Now, before we go to Ireland, there is the karaoke night. Where she does like the sexy karaoke night. She was hot in that, in fairness to her.
I don't think so at all.
I don't think she's hot, but she did a good job there.
Nah, that's weird. That's really weird because it's all her pals sitting about and...
They forced her into it and she's drinking. She goes...
This is why he's a prick, because he knows that if he basically challenges her to do the karaoke, she doesn't want to do it. And then she gets up. Then she gets up and does that weird thing with her shirt where she ties it in a knot so that you can see her belly and it accentuates the jebs. And then she pulls her trousers down so you can half see her arse and then does a song. And the guys... Butler's sitting there loving it, but then there's also other dudes sitting there in the crowd going, "Fucking, this is amazing!" Like, and you're like, "What is it? Like, this is your wife, you mad bastard!" Like,
and he was the wife at that time. Oh, by the way, who was it that said, by the way, when they saw the ashes, they went, "Oh God, Jerry's lost weight."
What? Somebody said that? No.
That was the other thing. Someone saw his, I think it was Henry, whatever, you know, one of those things like, I'm autistic, I'll say what I see.
Oh, she amazing.
Has, he looks, and I think it's when he first comes into her apartment, and he's like, oh, I won't come in here. And he looks at her, his Jerry's ashes in the corner, he's like, oh, Jerry's lost weight. That was top tier.
Oh my
Jerry's
God.
Lost weight. Oh, fucking hell. They went to the famine memorial as well.
Yes, he did.
And I know about this famine memorial. I've been at it. It's in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
It's across the water from New York, obviously.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I know the story because I didn't see the cottage there. In real life, I went to the cottage. There's a little famine cottage.
Right.
And I know that. The story about this, because it's from Donegal. Some American billionaire wanted to make a famine memorial thing, and he went to Donegal, saw a random tiny cottage that's worth 10 grand, someone's house, some old farmer, and he went up and goes, I want to remove your house and I want to take it brick by brick and exactly how it looks inside and out, and I'll give you $1 million. And this farmer was just like, yeah. So this guy, that actual thing that you go to in New York is literally brick by brick and an actual setup of an old cottage.
So they demolished the guy's cottage and then rebuilt it.
Yeah, but I mean, that guy made like literally $9 million.
Oh,
profit.
No, it's good. He was good for the dude.
But yes, they did. And in that, I know I didn't see the actual cottage. They were at the outside part and it was accurate. I know where it is. I've been to it, but like...
Would you need to do that though?
He could have just rebuilt it at one off. Scratch and see.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you take away the foundations of a cottage, could you carry that by helicopter?
I don't know. They must have. I don't know how they did it.
Pick that up, or even on a boat?
I think they dismantled it brick by brick and rebuilt it brick by brick.
That seems foolish.
I don't know. Do you think you can carry it on a helicopter?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how. Like, I don't know you, how. What kind of?
You look out your window and there's a helicopter going by with a perfectly cottage. Irish cottage hanging off it.
It's a famine memorial there, yeah, right.
An unbelievably skinny guy falling out of it into the water.
He's organized. He's gone to a travel agent and organized a trip for them. Her and her two pals to Ireland, and this is genuinely Ireland looks great.
They did some good scenic shots.
Like
there's
nice.
A lot of green and all that.
Do you know where that is? Because he instructs the pals, because he leaves letters for them, and says to take her to his favourite bar, but they call it Whelan's.
Is that what they call it?
Do you reckon it is Whelan's in Dublin?
It seems too... It just seems too in the middle of nowhere to be Whelan's.
Aye.
But that do you know what? The reason why I will go with you is because they keep going on the Galway.
Mm-hmm.
They keep, instead of Galway, they go, we're going to Galway. Even the Irish people go, Galway. And I go, not, you would be beaten within
a morsel
of your life if you called it Galway.
Yeah. Because his parents are from Enniskerry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Look. Like, I thought he was bad. Like, the fucking cunt Negan from
See, I didn't know who he was. I thought it was Javier Bardem at the first because he really looks like him.
I have never thought of that.
It really looks like him.
I'd never thought that they'd look. Fuck me. I've never thought it. They are doppelgangers.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
And then I looked him up afterwards and I found out he's one of the main guys in Walking Dead, which I've never seen. But he's like a singer in this bar, Whelan's. So they all go fucking mental for him because he's a handsome dude.
He is, yeah.
And he's obviously a guitar player. And then
it's enough.
They make
hit that G-string and you're done.
They make Swank go up and flirt with him. And then he goes, oh, I'm just going to play one more song. So.
Right. Disturbing.
What kind of fucking bar is this, right? That lets the entertainment do a set song by song. Like, that never ever happens. Why is he coming back for one more song?
He's like, I got one more, baby.
I
got one more in the chamber, baby.
Who the fuck is hanging about for that? Like, well, this guy goes and has a Guinness at the fucking bar. Right, let's wait for the last song. But then he dedicates the song to her that he's just met. And you go, oh, this guy's a fucking psychopath then.
It happens to be the same song her dead husband first sang to her.
Yeah, it's Galway Girl.
And so now, that Galway Girl does break out. I won't say that that's nonsense, but...
No, it's a good song.
Ah, oh, Jesus.
But so he sings that. She runs out because it reminds her of Gerard Butler. Then they go fishing the next day, and there's this... Again, women hapless on a boat scene where they try and catch a fish with an oar.
Yeah.
And then they get left on stranded on this lake. What do you call? Because we call them lochs, but what do you call?
Loch.
You just call them a lake.
No, a loch.
A loch, right?
Loch or whatever. So you say loch, but we just say loch.
So they're stranded on a boat. Not the Coast Guard, but whatever rescue service have got turn up. Turns out it's fucking Javier Bardem on the back. And then they just invite this dude to the remote cottage they've got. He asks to take a fucking shower and then just parades about the place in the nip. Like, it's just
our
like...
side. He's got his our side. Lo and behold, he pumps her.
He pumps her, yeah.
And then goes, by the way, I'm your dead husband's best mate. Really fucking like it looked like it was a planned job by the dead husband. He's like, you go to this bar, he'll be playing.
It's just a creepy as fuck thing as well. Because when she realizes, because she's like, oh, I need to go and meet my dead husband's, I'm gonna look up his mum and dad, they're in Enniskerry. And he goes, oh, what's her name? Oh, it's the fucking Kennedys or something. And he's like, not fucking Doreen and Jimmy. And she goes, do you know them? And he's like, are you fucking Gerard Butler's ex? He goes, yeah, did you know him? She was like, I was in his band, I was his best pal. And then she jumps up, right? And then he coaxes her back into bed.
Like, don't worry about it.
Do you want to hear some stories about him? But they're both fucking buff naked, right? So he's largely still inside her, telling stories about them running about as kids.
It felt like a setup by the dead husband. Because he told her what bar to go to.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how alarmingly unsettling this is. That is like me and you.
Uh-huh.
You die. Amy doesn't know me.
Yeah.
You go, I think you should go go to Monkey Barrel.
You should go to Red Raw.
You should go to Red Raw. Excuse me.
Just wait for whoever's doing the five spot. I know you're like one-liner comedians.
I do a podcast with Mark. She'd be like, what the fuck? This feels like set up. She went to Ireland and ended up with her dead husband's...
Yeah.
Following his trail that he set.
It's weird. It's very fucking weird.
But when she pours him a drink, by the way, when he's got his arsehole out, there is a little bottle of my waddy, which I mentioned in this podcast before, which I said was like Robinson's Orange in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I seen a wee bottle of my waddy. There you go. They've got that part right. They've got my waddy down.
I can't even remember what happens after that.
He got his arse out, and she's pouring a drink on the counter because she's looking at his arse going,
yeah.
I've never seen such an arse. Yeah.
And then she goes home. No, she goes to visit the parents. They give her another letter. Mm-hmm. And he's like, go back and you'll find, I know you hate your job, you'll find, but look for it. He keeps saying, look for signs. Look for signs. And then, so she, because she's a like an estate agent, but she hates it.
Yes.
And then she doesn't know what she's going to do with her life. And then she's watching something one night and chucks a fucking remote control at the telly. And then a buckle falls on her shoe. And she goes, oh my God, that buckle has improved that shoe by 1,000. And then it turns out she can design shoes. suddenly she's a shoe designer.
Imagine she looked at the empty shoe and she went, another Holocaust. Now that would be an ending. Yeah, the buckle lands in the shoe and she just all like, I better go all Devil's Wear Prada. Just drawn shit and then gives it to Lisa Kudrow. She's like, these are amazing.
Oh my God.
There is one scene we definitely have to cover about this. It's the most offensive, I think, to Irish people. When they first meet, it flashes back around halfway through it.
Oh, yeah, they meet on a road. She's lost.
She's like an idiot going, oh, am I in the national park? Oh, you're all around it. And he goes, do you mind if I walk with you and all this? And then she's like, oh, I'm staying in wherever, Dublin. She goes, I'm trying to look for Dunleary. And he goes, oh, I think you mean Dunleary. And I go, cool. That happens all the time. That's a good... Someone Irish wrote that one.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I'll walk you there. And I Google, because I know how many hours it is. And I wanted the exact... I Google, I know exactly where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the exact walk they take. And I Google searched it. It's an 11 hours walk.
But it's daylight the whole time.
It's like 11 hours and 20 minute walk. She says she was from her house to walk to this, up to the Wicklow Mountains to Dunleary. It is an 11 and a half
hours. So she's already made that walk as well to get lost. So she's on a 22 hour.
Yeah, yeah, she's already...
Sightseeing trip here on foot.
Do you know what the most devastating part of this is? And this is one that... Right. Ireland's known as the land of all saints and scholars.
Mm-hmm.
We have our fucking poets and our writers. It's all we talk about. Your fucking James Joyce's, our Oscar Wilde's and all that. They're walking down and she starts going like, I'll try and like get you... You know, and she starts quoting things, and he goes, who's that? And he goes, oh, that's William Blake. William Blake's an English poet.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
An English poet. I was like, William Blake? I go, we have...
Seamus Heaney.
We have Seamus Heaney. You could go Joyce. You could do W.B. Yeats. You could do... There's like... We have more fucking goddamn famous poets and writers than America, and we've only got... And she went, oh, I'll get you now with... Fucking Portsmouth's William Blake. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like the rage, Portsmouth. The rage, because he's like, oh, he goes, I don't know it. And I go, good. I hope he didn't. If he went, yes. The rage I fucking had during that. I was so confused that I had to Google. I was like, he's English. And I Googled it and I said,
yeah.
Not even, Ireland's not even mentioned in his Wikipedia page.
I assumed.
Yeah, you kind of caught it. Like, I was just like, of all places, like, or one thing.
Yeah.
Or one thing is fucking Oscar Wilde. Throw any name. Did you know they're Irish? And he went, William Blake. And I go, fuck, I don't even know William Blake shit bar. He's a decent English dude.
Yeah. Before we finish off, right, do you know how I would improve this film? Well, I'm going to ask you, how would you improve this film? Cast an Irish actor for a start.
I would have cast an Irish actor. I reckon Colin Farrell would have done a good job. Mm-hmm. We were doing that. I would have... I enjoyed it in the worst way possible. And I knew I would, and that's why I forced you for it, and I knew you would despise it.
Yeah.
How would you improve P.S. I love you?
I would improve P.S. I love you, where I would keep the film exactly the same, and the last letter just says, you have AIDS. That's the big reveal.
P.S.
He was riddled with AIDS.
P.S. I have AIDS.
P.S. I know you found the new love. He also has AIDS. The autistic guy has AIDS.
He took out his own best mate.
Everyone has AIDS now.
Negan's got AIDS. I presume they don't call him Negan. Negan. That would be so funny. P.S. Fuck Lisa Kudrow.
Oh,
what I mean,
just anything in that last letter,
that would have been great. P.S. It's the greatest thing.
P.S. 9/11 was an inside job. Just a total fucking car crash.
P.S. make sure you don't answer phones because them things will turn on someday and activate autism. And you're like, oh, the last thing, the last memory. Oh no.
P.S.P. stored in the ball.
That would be so good if that was the actual name of the film. Do you reckon it would have been made? P.S. P is stored in the balls. Star Lily Swank.
Why's Kathy Bates signed up for this?
And they ask her, well, it is. It's fucking stored in the balls, isn't it? God. We're coming into Halloween season.
Yes. So we've made the decision for the last 2 weeks of...
We've denied the 50 cent thing.
The what?
The £1 thing that we do. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're breaking from tradition and the kind of formula of this podcast. Yeah. For the last 2 weeks, because it's Halloween, for the next 2 weeks, we are going to pick each our favourite scary film, basically. Because we realised we haven't really done a horror yet. Beetlejuice was the closest we could probably get to. Yeah. So my pick, and also... So next week's is going to be my pick, and then the last week is going to be Halloween week, where we are both going to be wearing Halloween costumes.
For my pick
as well. Yeah.
God, I don't know what I'm going to choose.
Because I've got a fucking belter of a costume.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
So I've already bought one, because I'm going to a Halloween party with the kids.
Oh, great. Belter, man. All right, great. I'm looking forward to that.
So yeah, we're picking our favourite scary films. So it's my pick next week, and I have picked The Omen, which is the most terrifying film I have ever seen in my life. And it's the original. It's not the one we made with Lee Schreiber.
Yeah. So I presumed. Get that Lee Schreiber one in.
The 1970s Omen, which is fucking terrifying.
Again, that's another one I have not seen in a...
Excellent.
I have seen it, and I remember... I reckon I haven't seen that. There was definitely a teen in my age.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to
it. It's very, very, very scary. Apart from that, keep leaving the reviews. 5 stars if you can, because it helps with the algorithm to boost us up.
You've been great. The numbers again. We had numbers again. Last episode was our highest.
Yeah, it's our highest. Every single one is basically being our highest.
So that is cool. Just do what you do.
It's cool that anyone that's coming to it now is going back and listening to the old podcasts as well. you're off to Belgium tomorrow.
Yeah, you're not going to get. I'll be back from Belgium by the time this comes out.
Yeah,
I'm in Cardiff all weekend. If there's any Welsh cunts, I'm literally in four nights in a row in Cardiff.
At the Glee,
so I'm in the Glee, and then someone called Mr. Wolf.
It's a great club, the Glee. Yeah, yeah. My tour starts.
Yeah, that's the big one.
A month today, as we're recording this, Dundee only has 12 tickets left. That's on the 9th of November. 10th and 11th, I'm in Dumfries with you. Yeah. And the 11th is sold out. The 10th is about halfway. And then the 17th is in Aberdeen. So if there is anyone around about Dundee, Aberdeen or Dumfries, that's listening to the podcast and enjoying it, please buy tickets. And then just keep in touch on Twitter, Instagram, all that shit. And then we'll see you next week for our first Halloween special. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.